is this coming judgment day where we actually have to face up to what we are, who we are. So a third word I come up with is, in light of the Christmas season, Advent. Coming. That's what that word means. Christ came. Because of our sin and because God is holy, there had to be a way for us to be reconciled. Otherwise, the punishment for not being what we're made to be is separation forever from eternity with God. Death. So Christ came. Advent. He came into this earth right in this Christmas season. He came that we could see what God created us to be. Perfect human and perfectly God, tied into one, living a perfect life. Tempted in all ways like us, went through all the temptations we go through, and yet he was perfect. We have a Savior, someone who came, took care of our problem with sin by taking it on himself and making a way for us to get to God. So we have Creator, we have sin, we have this Advent, which means the coming, and it's not just enough that he came, choice. That's my fourth word I'm going to use, choice. Choice means it's not enough just to know that this happened, or to not know. There's an importance that you and I actually have to say, what are we going to do about it? What are we going to do with the fact that Christ came, that there was an Advent? Am I just going to think of it as a good person who had good moral teachings? Or am I going to recognize that Christ himself said, I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life. No one comes to God except through me. Jesus' claims are exclusive. He said, I am the way. And we have a choice. Believe him for what he said he is and who he claimed to be, or to dismiss him as a crazy man, or to say, I'll just kind of ignore some of his teachings and hold on to some of them, but kind of go through here. No. Christ came to roll back sin. He came back to roll away these problems. He came to do it person by person, by destroying this curse that we have because we rebelled against God. And it's our choice what to do with these Advent candles, with this hope, with this peace, with this joy, with this love. It's our choice each day. What are we going to do with what Christ has offered to us? What are we going to do? The last word I choose is kingdom. Christ came, he offered this choice, and now we, you and I, have this choice to take this message to other people. If it's true that Christ is the only way, then we should have a strong motivation to tell other people about this message. They need to hear. And if it's true that this kingdom has come, it hasn't come visibly. We don't see King Jesus ruling in Israel today. He's come to rule in our hearts. Something internal, and something that happens person by person by person. Rolling back this curse slowly but thoroughly around this world. There's a Creator. There is sin. There's Advent, the coming of Christ. There's a choice that we must make. And there's this kingdom that's growing around the world. And this kingdom also reminds us that there is this second Advent, the second coming. Christ is coming back. He's not coming as the baby the second time to walk among us. He's coming as a king to rule this kingdom that he has established. It's happening, person by person, day by day. Joy. We come back today to this word of joy that reminds us in this Advent season of what's going on. This is good news of great joy, which shall be to all people. The joy today that we're talking about is not something that's based on circumstances. It's not just happiness. It's not just life is going good. Joy today, as we're talking about this context, is this recognition that God has allowed us to be back into relationship with him. This is the eternal perspective, the huge picture, the picture that goes beyond the day to day. This is the picture that says there's something out there worth going through, so I can go through today and tomorrow and these problems and get to something really amazing on the other side. Ray, you've had a hard year, lots of work day by day, plugging through. But I think you have a goal on the other side of it, something pretty amazing that you hope is going to be happening. It gives you that hope to push through the hard days. How many of you in your workplace, as you're going through, you have these goals and objectives set before you, and you get stuck in that mundane and you're plugging along and you say, how am I going to get through this? How am I going to get through this next week of teaching kids at school and helping them to learn their lines and set them up for this great program? Except for the fact that you're going to get beyond it. These kids are going to have learned. These kids are going to be better off. And there's going to be something on the other side. Sometimes you push through those hard days in order to get to the other side, where people around you are better off, where the kids have learned, where there's something exciting to see. Joy is tied to hope. Got to hold on to that. But it's tied specifically to what Jesus has done. It's tied to a person. Each of these aspects of Advent are tied specifically to Jesus. Jesus brought peace. Jesus brought hope. Today, he's bringing joy. He's destroyed this enmity, this hostility that we have with God. There's joy because we can talk with God again. We can go back into that relationship that we had, we're supposed to have with him in the beginning. Now, I think through my life in those moments of joy that I was anticipating and looking ahead to, one of the greatest moments of joy, which happened about 20 years ago, was standing just about here in an auditorium, all dressed up in this suit and tuxedo, and a couple friends standing around me, and this door in the back opened up, and the sunlight came through, and this woman in white was standing there. That was a moment of joy. It was Elizabeth, by the way. Our wedding day. That was a moment of joy. It was an amazing moment because there was lots tied to that moment. There was the 2 years up to that point where we had learned and discovered who each other were, promises that we had made, and expectations. There was joy in the moment recognizing this was it all starting, but there's joy looking ahead to the years and years ahead that our lives are going to be together. That was joy. Still is joy. There's also another moment of joy that kind of came unexpectedly, and that was the birth of my little girl. Is she Anastasia? No. When she was born, there was an immediate flooding of joy. I had a little girl finally. My princess, she came there. The boys loved you guys. Glad you're here. Not to take away from how wonderful you guys are, but having a princess is amazing. I've discovered that someday. That was a moment of joy, recognizing a father's dream of having a princess and all that goes into that. A lot of future expectations tied with that joy. My little girl. Joy is tied to Jesus Christ, but it's not tied to these day-to-day moments. It's tied to these future expectations. In Hebrews chapter 12, we're looking at Jesus, who's our example, the author and perfecter of our faith. It says about Jesus that for the joy set before him, he endured the cross and scorned its shame. Jesus, because of joy, managed to go through one of the most brutal, horrible deaths possible because of joy. Paul tells us that because of our joy, we also need to be able to endure the troubles and the trials that are happening around us. Jesus, before he went to the cross, told his disciples, I'm telling you these things, that there is a kingdom that I'm coming back. I'm telling you these things so that your joy may be full, your joy may be complete. The scripture does not tell us life is going to be easy. In fact, it tells us it's going to get harder. It's because we believe in Jesus. It says, even in these hard times, in these difficulties, in suffering, you can have joy. This takes joy out of the realm of the day-to-day happiness of I woke up on the right side of the bed and I had a great breakfast and my coffee was perfect and there was no traffic on the way to work. It takes it out of that context and puts it into the fact that joy is something we're going for, striving for, that's in the future, and it gives us strength to get through today. Joy gives us the ability to have something inside of us that says, I can endure today, this moment, the struggles, the hardships, because of what's coming. Joy is tied to Jesus Christ. It's tied to Advent. It's tied to his first coming when he came as a baby to restore that relationship with God. But it's tied specifically to the fact that Jesus is coming again. There's a second Advent. Joy is for today. It's based on this relationship we've had and the history of what we know about Christ and the church to this point, these 2,000 years, like the 2 years before my marriage. It is tied to a moment where I decide, I'm going to accept this gift that Jesus offers. I'm going to believe it. I'm going to stake my life on it. I'm going to live for him. I'm going to stop trying to live for myself, that selfishness that goes to the heart of who I am. I'm going to turn that aside and say, Jesus, you be the heart of who I am. And it looks ahead and says, I'm going to live for him now. I'm going to live for him for the days I have. Joy. It's integral to this Christmas season. Doesn't make light of the hardships. Doesn't make light of loss and pain in our life. But it gives us that ability to keep going and find a reason for what's going on. To learn from it, to grow from it, be stronger for what's going on in our lives. Who for the joy set before him endured the cross. One of the ways as I was wrestling through this week of understanding joy, trying to find not just the opposite, but kind of the joy killers in our life, is tied specifically to this problem we have of sin. Self. When I'm living for myself, when I'm trying to find ways to escape, or trying to find ways to get out of the momentary troubles that I find myself without looking to Jesus, there's lots of things I try to fill my life with. It can be computer games, it can be reading, it can be going off shopping. I don't do that very often. It can be eating. What is it in your own life, as you just stop and reflect, that takes the place of joy because you need to cope with the moment? Do you know yourself well enough to look in the mirror and say, you know what, when life gets hard, I have this choice to make of finding joy in Christ and what he's done, or I have ability to try to find a placebo, something to make myself feel good for a moment so I can get through this difficulty. What is it? Do you know yourself that well? Can you look in the mirror and say, yeah, that selfishness destroys real joy? Because that's the choice that we have. To cover over the pain and the struggles, or recognize that Jesus is with us in these moments. His coming is part of who we are now. And we can have joy even in difficulties. This question of who we are and what we struggle with is what we best do in relationships one-on-one over a coffee, sharing with people that care about us. Hey, I'm having a hard time. This is where I tend to go unless I look to Jesus. That's that step of maturing. That's that step of allowing Christ to change our life moment by moment, day by day. So the joy buster, the joy killer in our life is when we put ourselves back in there and say, I can take care of this my own way and get through this difficulty. As opposed to saying, I look to Jesus. It doesn't change the circumstances, but it gives me hope, it gives me peace, it gives me joy, it gives me strength to get through what's in this moment before us. And it's all tied to this future perspective. I bring you good tidings of great joy, good news of great joy, which shall be for all people. This is the message of Advent, joy. Not temporary happiness, but a deep-rooted ability to recognize that we have a relationship with God. It's available to us. It's available to all people. You made that choice this morning? Have you said, Jesus, I take that good news. I recognize that what you've done on the cross was for me. You came, you died for me, and that good news, that ability to have you a part of me and my relationship with you restored is available, and I want it. To base our life, our decisions, our day-to-day actions on that relationship that we have with him. That's the season of Advent. So these are the five words I'm trying to wrestle with and make sense of, and you can do a better job. In fact, you're going to keep trying. Hopefully in the next few months we'll come up with a consensus as a church of what five words we want to be using, but this is where I'm at today. There is a creator. There's sin. I got a peek. Who wrote it down? There is Advent. And a choice, and there's a kingdom. Something happening around this world that we here at ICS are a part of. That's where I'm at, wrestling with it. Take it back to your home groups. Take it to your friends over coffee this week. But make this something that you're meditating on, thinking about, focusing on. Because this is what we can talk about. This is what we have as the source of this season of Advent. When people say, what are you celebrating Christmas? Because it's happening on the 25th for you. Protestant people, right? As they ask you why you're celebrating, what you're celebrating, this is the start. We celebrate. Christ has come to restore a relationship with God. question is, what is the gospel? We can keep asking that question. This good news is said right there that the angel announced. It came in a person. The good news came in Jesus Christ. It should be for all people. And it says right after that, unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior. This good news that the angel's talking about is that a Savior was born. Someone who could restore our relationship with God. Take that this week. Wrestle with it. Continue to make these choices day by day. And recognize we have a Savior. He's come and He's coming again. Let's pray. Father God, we again just stop and recognize that this season is about Jesus. It's not just about having a good time. It's not about celebrating and having presents and giving one to another. The season of Christmas, the season of Advent, is a season where we remember that you, the living God, sent your Son, Jesus, to this earth. So we stop and we refocus our lives again this December. We refocus our lives on the fact that we are in relationship with God because of Jesus. Our lives are different. We have hope. There is light in our life today, even as these candles represent. There's light in our lives today because of Jesus. He is our hope. He is our peace, and He is our joy. That moment of great happiness that's tied to what has been done, what you are doing, and what you're going to do in the future. We have joy. Pray this joy would be visible in us this week, and people around us would wonder what's up with us, that we can get through hard times without being completely discouraged, without being destroyed. Because you, Jesus, are with us. In Jesus' name, amen.